Let's pray. We have three pages to cover. There's nothing to write down. That's how fast we're going. And it's a good topic, but there's just a lot that I had a hard time paring it down. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of studying your word again. Thank you for Ethan's message. Help us now as it's hardly a transition at all as we discuss the fifth commandment. And may we learn from it and conform to it. Lord, may we obey it as we understand it more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to read the passage in Exodus that's on the top and then the left down to verse 12. That's how we've covered so far. So again, a familiarity thing. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now look, I'll just review on the right-hand side, and then also give you what today's is. But command number one, we put it this way, nothing or no one but God is directing my life. Okay, so no other gods before me is not a priority thing. No other gods in my presence is that idea. There's nothing competing with the God slot. And God tells me what I'm here for, tells me how to think, what to say, how to live, right? Nothing else should be directing that. The second command, no self-defined version of God. Again, I'm not idolizing someone else, and I'm not bringing God down and redefining him the way I say. I'm not saying it's okay to sin when God is holy, for example. Third command, I'm not misusing God's name in what I say, the words I say. It could be slang, it could be swear words, it could be making oaths which diminish the name of God. The Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into more temptation. But also in your words, you are representing, you're kind of wearing the God jersey. And so you're representing God by what you do, so you can defile his name by your actions. The next one here now, we've covered four that relate to God. Now, command number five of the Ten Commandments, I put it this way, treat your parents as God's special helpers to you. Now, that might sound a little childish. We're trying to gear it to the kids as well. But I hope it makes sense as we go. Now, first off, I outlined it. On the left side there's Deuteronomy 5:16, which is the parallel passage. Deuteronomy is duet, is two, and onomos is law. It's the book where the law is given a second time 40 years later after they wandered through the wilderness before Moses dies. But Deuteronomy adds a little more. It says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God had commanded you. So he's referring back to Exodus 20. Then he says this, that your days may be long, and he adds this line, that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. So there's two parts, not only long life, but well life or good life, okay? On the right side is a brief outline. Now I'm going fast because we're going to get into more detail here. What are we supposed to do? We're to honor our parents. we have to describe what honor looks like, not explain it. So my attempt at using a word is treat your parents as God's special gift to you. That's the best way I can say it. If you treat them as God's gift to you, then you treat them differently than not, okay? So we'll talk about what honor is, what dishonor is as well. The direction is both your father and your mother. It's interesting that it's both sets of both parents, not just one parent, okay? You are obligated to honor both your father and your mother. And then in Exodus, it says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. So it's a long life is what it talks about here. So let's go down here, and I have how many points here? 8 points. Yeah, 27thly. But 8 points here. But number one, what this command is not saying, and I kind of threw this in at the end as I started thinking about it here, and I bumped it to the beginning. This is command number five. We have to remember that. As parents and as children, I'm saying as children as those that have parents, right? All of us are children in that sense. But command number five does not ignore or displace the first four commands. It comes after the first four commands. So you can't have, your parents cannot be your God. They cannot, you know, displace all of the things that God has just said in the first four commands. Okay? And notice some of the passages in the New Testament that you see here. Matthew 10:37 says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." You catch that? So our parents are not to become our God either. And parents, we are not to be God. Right? We are God's placeholders, in a sense. We're assigned to that authority spot, but we do not take over God's spot, right? It says that he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So the opposite is true, too. Your parents cannot replace God, and your children cannot replace God, okay? God is first. And look at a couple more passages related to that. Jesus said in Luke 14, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, we think of hate as doing something mean. That's not what hate or even the opposite, love, relates to. It's action. You have to choose God first in any relationship. We talked about that a few weeks ago. God has to be the preeminent relationship, and he has to direct all the other relationships. So that's the idea of hate. You're supposed to obey your parents and all this other stuff, but that is when God is first, right? And are there times, potentially, that you do things that don't line up with what your parents want? That God says do this, but your parents say don't do this? Yeah, potentially there is. Notice the next passage here. Matthew 19, verses 28 and 29 say, "So Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.'" He's talking to the apostles here. And notice here, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Now that isn't necessarily saying we disagree with our parents at that point, but there are times when you serve God and your parents are left behind, in a sense. Not in a dishonor way, but in a sense that God first, right? So that's the idea here. So the command number five does not ignore or replace the first four commands. So the last point that I kind of coagulated in my mind, but I really thought that was a first principle that needed to be there. Questions or comments on that? Additions. All right, number two, initial observations. honoring your father and mother is the first and most basic human relationship. The first relationship you ever have is a relationship to your parents. Even at conception, that begins. And at birth, it's obviously more obvious, I suppose. Okay, that's your first human relationship. Bullet number two, this is the first human-focused command. The first four commands relate to your relationship with God. The first four are focused on God. The six afterwards are focused on people. Now notice here, what Jesus said in the New Testament, Matthew 22, just to summarize again, he had some guys come up and say, what is the great command? Trying to trick him. And he said, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And he said, and the second is like to the first, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets, right? The entire Old Testament can be summarized, and I kind of put it in this way. Love God and love people. All right? So, when you get to honor your parents as the first one, honor is a type or means of loving your parents. Again, biblical love is action, really not feeling. That doesn't mean there aren't feelings involved, but they might not be coordinating feelings. Okay, they might be feelings that are opposite, even. You know, so honoring your parents doesn't necessarily mean you feel like honoring your parents, if you understand that. But that, you don't have to feel like it. When you honor your parents, you're still loving your parents. It's a form of love. Honor is a form of love. That's what we say there, based upon this Matthew 22 passage. Questions or comments so far? We're running 100 miles an hour. Are you awake? You still with me? Okay. Now, I go through and I find all kinds of things that it says. A lot of them are in Proverbs. But ways that we are required to honor our parents. Okay? So there's actions of honor. And then I list some number four is actions of dishonor. I shrunk those down a little bit more brief, but I have other stuff, so we're moving on. So if you have a question, stop me. Otherwise, I'm going to go through these. I put the actions of honor in a way, somewhat in a logical order, except for maybe number one. Actions of honor. The first one is bless. And it says here that there is a generation that curses its father, which is a bad thing. That's listed on the bad list, and does not bless its mother. Okay, so the idea is not blessing is a bad thing. So the bless we're taking is we are to be blessing our parents. What does it mean to bless your mother? I'll take the pause to take another sip of coffee. What does it mean to bless your mother? What is cursing? Okay, but respect, but it's more, it's a lot of these things can be called respect. So what does bless mean in particular?
Saying good things, lifting up good things about
her. It seems to be the opposite of cursing. It could be complimenting your mother, thanking your mother, Lord, or it could be, Mom, may God bless you today. May God may give you a special day today because you're my mom. You know, that idea, which is the opposite, cursing, may God destroy you, may God give you a miserable day, may the fleas of a thousand camels infest your armpits, right? Idea. It's the opposite of that. It's may you have, you know, it's that idea. It's saying things to your mother and father. I think it's meant for both. The way it's written is kind of a Hebrewism. But it's like the Bible assumes you will be saying good things to your parents. Okay, whether it's thanking them or appreciating them in some way. Okay, if your parents are still alive, call them on the phone, say, "Hey, Happy Father's Day! Thanks for not killing me those 38 times you had the opportunity to do that." You know, or whatever. You know, so I do that, and I do that more now, and I think I understand it more now with my dad. You know, we spent a whole day in May together. We put the trampoline together and worked on the treehouse. But we got to talk all day long together. It was really cool because normally that's never possible. And just different times of the day, I just, you know, tell him how I appreciate him and things like that. So that's, I think that's what blessing means. It's verbal, just like cursing is verbal. Blessing is verbally thanking God for them in their presence, or saying, may God give you a good day, or whatever, something like that, right? Or even just thanking them for what they do. So that's the blessing part. Okay, so that's one way to honor your parents. The second one, and these are a little more logically ordered here, is listen and learn. And I thought it, Ethan's talk did real well in tying in here, because the idea of listen is with the intent of doing or learning, okay? Here's three passages in Proverbs. Proverbs 1, 7, 8, and 9. And I tie it together with the fear of the Lord, okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Why? For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now let me point it back to Proverbs 1:7. It ties it in with the fear of the Lord. Do you see that? He says the fear of the Lord is at the beginning. Guys, you got to stick with me, okay? The fear of the Lord is tied in with parents' instruction. Does that make sense? I think it's logical, right? Does that make sense? Your parents are trying to point you in that direction, and so the fear of the Lord is connected to the parents, all right? All right? Look at Proverbs 4:10. I don't think I listed Proverbs 1:7 or 1:9 as a benefit, but we might put that later if we remember that. It also lists a benefit. Proverbs 4:10 says, hear my son and receive my sayings. Just like Ethan said, it's a hearing, but not letting it go in one ear and out the other. It's the intent of paying attention so you understand it and know, right? And then Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So the idea, one way to honor our parents is to listen and to learn, okay? Are you with me, sir? Okay. What's the next one? Down at the bottom. This is the one we always think about, right? I think it's one of the first verses my kids learn when they're babies. It's obey. When we think of honor, it's like, of course, you know. I knew you'd bring that up. But it says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it quotes, honor your father and mother from the Old Testament, right? Remember, we just covered this in Ephesians to the point where probably you could preach the sermon yourself, but there's the wife, and then the husband, the children, parents, and then servants, masters, right? There's those dual relationships, and each one has responsibilities. And this is stated right here. This is Ephesians 5 and 6. But the child is commanded to obey, and then the parent is commanded to bring up the children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So we are commanded to obey our parents. That is equated with honor. Okay? Again, all of these relate to honor. How, you know, when you say honor your parents, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we mean bless your parents, listen and learn from your parents, obey your parents. Top of the second page, there's a couple more obedience passages, okay? Proverbs 6, verses 20 to 24. My son, keep your father's command, or obey your father's command, and do not forsake the what? What does it say there? The law of your mother. I mean, their parents are laying down guidelines and laws even, right? What does it say to do? That bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. And then why? This is a benefit. I didn't list it as a benefit. Well, I think I did, maybe. But when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs and instruction are the way of life. And then it says to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. It goes on to say other things that it prevents you from doing, but it keeps you safe, okay? But you're supposed to keep your father's command and not forsake the law of your mother. What your parents teach you, by and large, should guide you through life, is the idea there, okay? It's not just, I think Gaethje used an illustration, making your bed or something, you know? That works when you're home, and mom and dad say, make your bed. Or do this or do that, go mow the lawn, go trim the grass or whatever. It's not just that. It's saying listen to what they're saying for the guy, you know, to point you in the right direction for all of life. That's the idea, ultimately. And then notice there's a parallel passage to Ephesians chapter 6. It says, children, obey your parents in all things. And it actually gives another reason, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Okay? That idea of obeying your parents. Now, the next one is probably the least favorite, but it's endure chastening. How many of us ever get called out by our parents or have? And we don't want to hear all Marv's stories about getting... Marv, did you get in trouble at all when you were a kid? Nope. I did a few times. Myself. You know, remember I hated Sundays as a kid because I always got a spanking when I got home. So... anyway, I remember at times my dad, the most heartbroken I think ever was after the fact, and I don't know that he ever knew that, but he punished me when I talked back to my mom. Yeah, and I never forgot that. And the idea of, you know, you respect your mother kind of idea, that was like, anything else was under that. You know, if you murdered people, you know, there's still maybe a little room for grace. If you talk bad to your mom, there will be a murder and it will not be you committing it kind of idea. You know what I mean? And because that was a non-negotiable idea, you know? But... In any rate, all of us have been chastened and corrected. That's part of the process. Ethan, again, brought that out. He said instruction involved not only the relaying information, but correction, right? You're doing this wrong. Don't do this and all that. So what does the Bible say about that? Hebrews 12, starting with verse 5, it's in the realm of God chastening us. But he uses as an illustration our fathers chastening us. Okay, so let me read this for you. Pay attention, if you will. Enduring chastening. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. By the way, that can come by human means. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So the idea of chastening is tied into love, right? If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Now he ties it into God, the perfect chastener, the perfect lover, and then he brings it down to fathers who don't do it well or oftentimes even for the right reasons, okay? He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons, because that is part of being a child of a father, is that the father sees the responsibility to correct. Okay? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Okay? That's the challenge of being a fatherless child, is you don't have a father to correct you. I believe that's part of the design of God, where the father is kind of the firm one usually and the mom is more the soft one. And I believe by design, my wife has more grace than I do. And I think that's how men and women are largely wired. And I think both are essential. Okay? Generalize this, but you have the idea that, you know, my wife will say, "Oh, you poor thing, you know, don't do that again." And at least from my vantage point, my dad would be more like, "And if you do it again, I'll break your other leg." And my dad wasn't mean. I'm just telling you, but that seems to be the, you know, that idea. It's like the law, and God uses both extremes to provide the middle ground for the child. You need correction. You need that manly, but you also need that womanly, oh, you know, or whatever. I don't know how to explain it otherwise, okay? Let me keep reading here. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. We just did. We had to. We, you know, whatever the case might be, we understood that that was where we fit in. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father spirits and live? And we've talked about this before. Following your leaders, whether it's your parents, your government leaders, your pastors, who else? Anyway, you know, the different relationships. Everyone's in submission relationships, and that is part of what God wants us to do. So he says that's normal. And he notice it says here, they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them. We're out of the house faster than you think, right? And they did it to the best of their ability, the best, what seemed best to them. It isn't always perfect. It isn't always best. But he, God, always does it for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. And now it goes on to say, anytime we get in trouble, it's never good. It never seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. But it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hopefully that's what a dad does to his kids. God always does that to his kids. It's always for the right reason. It's always the right way too. So endure chastening is another way we honor our parents. We understand that they are charged by God to point us in the right direction and to correct us, and yes, even to punish us if necessary. Does that last forever? No. We're on our own, and we're making decisions, hopefully impacted by the direction that our parents send us. The next one here is probably a forgotten one, and that we are responsible to care for our parents. Okay? I suppose you can even say treasure your parents. Ethan used the term for wisdom. We're supposed to treasure wisdom. We're supposed to treasure our parents too. I think as you get older, you do so more. You know, they get smarter as you get older. Your parents do. But at least they appear to. And you understand when you start having your own kids, you start getting a little more of what the responsibility that is on parents' shoulders that they feel or whatever. But notice here, Matthew 15, 1 through 9. The Pharisees again come up to Jesus and try to pounce on him for not obeying their traditions. Okay? And he brings up honoring your parents. Funny thing, okay? Let me read this. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, why do your followers transgress the tradition of the elders? And would you underline tradition of the elders there so it sticks out on your sheet? The tradition of the elders. You're not keeping our rules. Why are your followers not keeping our rules? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And you think, ew, you know, of course you should wash hands when they eat bread. We're trying to get our young boys to still remember to do that. We always hold hands and pray before we eat. We're like, you didn't wash your hands. I can tell you, you know, kind of idea. That's not what he's talking about here. It's kind of a ritualistic, spiritual type of washing of hands, okay? They had to do it. Even if your hands are broken, they had to go through this process. They aren't following our rules, okay? Verse 3, Jesus, he answered and said to them, he doesn't answer their question. He asks them, he says, notice, why do you also transgress, now underline this, the commandment of God, right? You got the tradition of elders. And he says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. Okay, and he goes on to explain, basically your rules actually violate God's command. for, and he gives an example, God commanded, for example, God commanded, and here's the command, honor your father and mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That's what God says, but it says, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, it is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God no effect by your tradition. And then he says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with your mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So they have taken the Bible, what God has said, and changed and eliminated, basically made it ineffective. Now, how did they do that? The command is to honor father and mother, right? So how did Jesus say they changed that? Different translation for, let's see. Gift, whatever profit it might have received for me is, yeah, anyone got a King James? It's a Matthew 15, 5. It's right at the end of the verse.
I'm not quite sure, but it's kind of like they earn some money or something, but they say it's a gift to God. I don't have to share it with you, Mom and Dad. I
can
use it myself.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's exactly right, Jim, is what it is. It's interesting because what is Jesus saying their obligation is? It has to do with money. Are you catching it? I mean, the idea is that, okay, as your parents get older, then the responsibility of caring reverses. We'll get to that in a minute, okay? They have made up a rule to say, I have this money. Let me state this again. I have this money. What's different than if I gave this money? Explain that. I still have it, right? Basically what they're saying is, Dory, did you find it there? Does it say Corbin at all in there? Okay. The idea is, okay, God says honor your father and mother, which means we'll get to care for them as they get older. There's no Social Security. There's no none of this stuff, right? Care for them as they get older, which means your resources, your money, now turns around and helps them. Okay? But they made a new rule. It's an IRS loophole. And they said, if I have this and say I dedicate it to God, does that make sense then? So I still have it. It's in my bank account, but I've dedicated it all to God. And so therefore, guess what? I have nothing left over for you. So therefore, I don't have to take care of you anymore. So what happens? He says your tradition, this rule you made up, violates what God has commanded you to do. And that is to take care of your parents as they get older. By your financial means. Okay? So there's God, you can't dedicate it to God because he's already told you to use it to care for your parents. They've made up a rule and it's a fictitious rule. It goes against what God is teaching. We're supposed to care for our parents with our resources as they get older. Okay?
But you're
Mark 7:11.
Oh, it says Corbin there.
Yes. If a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corbin, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou get profitest, mightest be profited by me, that it shall be, he shall be free.
Yeah, you know, all of a sudden that money that you dedicated to God, no, you're no longer obligated to use. And it's a way to cheat your parents and violate what God said. Okay, understand? All right? Okay, look at the other passage here in underneath care. This is more direct. It says, honor widows who are really widows. What's a widow in the Bible sense? What do they mean is a really a widow means that they have no family at all. That's what it's talking about here. Widows indeed is what the King James says. Truly widows. Otherwise, if any widow has children, so the widow would be the mom then, right? You there? Or grandchildren. So this even extends to grandparents. Let them first learn to show piety at home and to what? This is an odd view. What does it say? What's the word there?
Repay.
Repay their parents. Do we grow up thinking we're indebted to our parents? We should. Okay, that doesn't mean we have to pay them everything back, and hopefully the parents aren't keeping track, because there would be no way, right, with interest. It's not going to happen. But the idea is there's an obligation to repay their parents. When is this? When they're old. We're going to talk about how the roles reverse here shortly. A little more, but they're supposed to be show piety at home. In other words, they're caring for their mom or their grandmother here, right? For this is good and acceptable to God. Now, she who is really a widow and left alone has no children or grandchildren, trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. These things command that they may be blameless. Now, notice verse 8, that last verse, it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, what is it talking about? His own mother, his own grandmother, if you will, and parents, usually, at least as a pattern, the father would die first because he would be a little bit older than or could be quite a bit older than the daughter, the wife, rather. Okay? But the idea is, so the mom's still there or whatever? If anyone does not provide for his own, what does it say there? And especially for those of his household, he has what? He's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's how basic caring for your parents when they're older is. Now again, the right thing is that the parents are caring and being responsible as they get older, right? They're not spending their kids' inheritance as you see some bumper stickers or whatever. But then when the roles are reversed, that we'll talk about shortly, then the kids care for the parents in a financial way. Okay? And it's a shared capacity, hopefully, you know, that idea. So we're Jane's parents are, they've added on to our house. And I assume sometime this year they'll move in when they sell their house. But that's the idea. They're still functional on their own. My father-in-law's knees are kind of getting really bad. But the idea is that they'll help some, but we'll help them. And as we need to help more, we'll help more. Okay, that's the idea that we're reflecting here. And that they reflected, by the way, with their own parents. Okay? The next one here, any questions on care for? I think our society has completely lost that idea. I say as a general idea. The Amish do that. What do the Amish do? They have a little house on the side. They have this little, I can't remember what they call it, but it's Dottie house, they call it. But it's, you know, it's a smaller house, easier to take care of, easier to move around in, but it's next door to one of the kids. Okay, that's the idea. We have this mentality in our mind in our era that we have to be completely independent and we don't want to be a problem to our kids. And it's like, that is a God-given responsibility and interaction. Aren't you glad you didn't do that to the kids? You know, I don't want to have my babies to be a burden to us. We're just going to stick them in the little red wagon and wheel them down the road, and you know, hopefully they'll be good on their own. No, there's that responsibility to care as they get older. Revere is the next one here. And I don't know, it's really a restatement, but he uses a different word here. Leviticus 19, 2-3. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. And interesting, he follows up with, let every one of you shall revere his father and mother. He ties that in, the first statement of being holy. So a holy life is a life that reveres your parents. Rise. This one isn't directly related to parents, though I think it is eventually. Okay? Notice what it says here. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man. What is this principle? It's more general than parents. But what is this principle? We're not only to respect our older parents, we're to respect whom? Older anybody. Right? And notice what it says here. When they walk into your presence, you should stand up. Out of what? A sense of honor. That's the idea. You're respecting them for their age. Not because of who they are, but because of what they are, the position they hold, because of their age. Isn't that interesting? I have to tell you this. I've never forgotten this. There was a mission board. I don't even know if it exists anymore. It's Evangelical Baptist Missions. And they used to make one department of that mission. They would make movies, like evangelistic films, and then ship them around the world. And they're like, immediately it was a fail. When they did like one movie and they're like, it didn't work because we took it to Japan, and they said that the teenagers that we showed it to never got the message because they were so shocked by how the kids in the movie didn't stand up when their parents entered the room. They were just totally blown away, and they lost the message of the gospel because they weren't, you know. So the lot more culture respect built in there. But the idea is it's something lost in the United States. You even see it in older films and all that. You see where some of that is true, where they, you know, there's a deference to the older person or whatever. Okay, I just remember this. So they had to start filming the films, if you will, in countries that the culture was more the same. But that was one of the things that the Japanese, they just could not fathom, that you did not get up when your father walked in the room or your mother walked in the room, or they, you know, they bow and stuff too, which again, that isn't necessarily necessary. But the idea of a overt or open honor. Okay, now that has to be taught, and we don't necessarily do that. But I remember down south, they were big on what? You ever been down south? Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Everything is yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And it's like, you know, I'm just trying to think of an occasion. It's like, okay, now, Bobby, go take out the garbage. Yes. Yes, what? Yes, ma'am. You know, it's just, and I mean, if you didn't say yes, sir, you were being rude. You know, that was just the way you talk to the elders, especially. You talk to your same age, maybe not that way, but you always to the people that are older, and it was always, yes, sir. Of course, they always had the miss whatever, too, you know. As brother so-and-so and miss whatever, whatever age you were at, and no matter whether you were married or not, you were Miss so-and-so. Miss Juanita, that's what they call it, Miss Juanita. And Brother Marvin. Brother Marvin, he would sound good in Southern slang. So anyway, that idea, but rise. And whether or not that is the way we do it, but still, the idea when an older person walks in the room, you stop and pay attention to them and maybe, you know, acknowledge them or whatever at least. That is the idea. That, and that would relate to your parents too, if your parents are blessed to be able to grow old, right? And then remember is the idea is even, this is when you're out of the house, but also when your parents have passed on, you're still remembering what they taught you. Look at this, Jeremiah 35. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, I'm not saying these in Hebrew, that's for sure, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine or perform, to this day they drink none. I think it was like generations later, they're still not doing what their father told them not to do, right? That was the idea. They obeyed their command. Why don't you obey my command? I'm God, right? So the idea, and you see this elsewhere, the keep, that you bind it around your heart, you carry it with you all the time. The idea that it's supposed to direct us beyond the time we're in home with our parents. And even when our parents were with us at all. Okay, the things that my mom taught me are still with me to this day. The directions that I have. I'm in church every week because of my mom, right? And my dad, of course. They built that into a fault almost. So the things like that. I didn't smoke because of my mom. And I had plenty of opportunities to do that. I didn't drink because of my mom, you know, things like that. So the influencers, not just that, but the positive things as well. Number four, actions of dishonor. I'm going to go through these faster. I'm missing one thing. Do you have something? I guess we have all the same. What I did list here too, and somehow I must have undid it.
Remember.
Well, I just did remember, actually. Yeah, but under actions of dishonor, understand that anything that we just listed that you don't do, like not remembering, not rising, not revering, not caring for, not enduring, chastening, not listening and learning, not obeying, not blessing, is dishonoring your parents. Right? That would be, if those are honoring, not doing them, it'd be dishonoring. So we're not bringing those up again. But I had it there. Any of the opposites of the honorable actions would be dishonorable then, right? As a given. But then look at these quickly here. And I don't fully understand this, but I suppose I think I've seen some of this. But it says, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother. The idea is that whether it's with the idea of not caring for her or not wanting to know what she needs or not know what she wants to say, that's a dishonorable action, okay? Curse. We've already talked about the curse. You know, saying something bad be to you, or just talking bad to your parents. Despise. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother. And this is interesting. When she is old, why would we despise our parents when they're old? What possible reasons? I'm not saying you would. When they get to be burdensome? Is it possible to be physically burdensome? My dad could tell you, when my mom passed away, he said, I know it sounds morbid, but it was getting really hard to take care of mom. Night and day, he was getting up 24 hours a day to take care of mom. Despising that would be to ignore her needs or to, you know, people a lot of times just ignore their parents anymore. They don't even interact with their parents when they're living. And that's the idea. Spend time with them. If possible, live with them. Okay? Here's one that says here in Ezekiel 22, in you they have made light of father and mother. Okay? He lists other sins too. They oppress the stranger. They mistreat the fathers. But when you joke about your parents behind their back or whatever, God sees that and he says that's wrong or bad. Because he's given them to you as a help for you. Okay, that's God's idea. So you're ultimately mocking God. Mistreat. He who mistreats his father. And again, that's a very general term. But mistreat your father. And it almost seems like maybe when he's older and you don't treat him with the respect, even though he can't do as much, he's not the $6 million man anymore. My youngest kids are almost to the point where they realize I'm not impervious, or I can't fix everything anymore. You know, it kind of goes away. But the idea is you start just casting them aside, mistreating me, not giving him what he needs, right? Or the respect he deserves too. Mock is another. The eye, it doesn't even take a word. I suppose it even could be like rolling your eyes, right? Against here the father, and scorns obedience to his mother. Sets aside whatever you say, he just mocks it or scorns it. You don't know what you're talking about. Leave me alone or whatever. That would be a scorning kind of thing. But mocking with your eyes would be just like rolling your eyes or whatever, which is a heart of what the next thing is, I think, to rebel. Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? The idea is that you're not my boss. I'm not responsible to you. And God says, oh, woe to you who thinks that, who says that, right? Interesting, but this one's rob. I don't think I ever crossed my mind to rob my parents, but I've heard of people who do. Whoever robs his father or mother and says it is not no transgression, the same as a commandment to a destroyer. You're like a murderer. You're in that same category. You're taking what there is theirs. And then scorn. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks his father kind of says the same thing as that is the same thing. So I put scorn as I listed the verse separately to list mocks is one and scorns the other. So questions or comments on actions of dishonor? I'm guessing it's not an exhaustive list in ways to honor or exhaustive list of ways to dishonor, but understand that these are ones that the Bible says are there. Now this one here, I squeezed it down to fit it because it was running on the next page, so I want to make sure it's on the same page. But I want you to get this, right? I talk about the cycle or seasons of care. When you start out, this is you. You are helpless. You are cared for. You're an infant, right? You cannot help yourself. And then eventually you still, even as a toddler, even as my son, youngest son's 6-year-old, Sammy can't do everything for himself. Okay? Infant, toddler idea. And then after this and even through this, you're still cared for to some degree. But in the same vein, then you're brought up and trained. You're brought up and trained. You're taught. You're taught how to walk. You're taught how to talk. You're taught how to tie your shoes. You're taught what's right and wrong. All the way up through how to drive and how to, you know, all the negotiating and navigating the whole idea of life as you grow older. Then after that, somewhere along the line, potentially, you leave, possibly. This has to do with marriage, if this you like this, the cleave, that's an Old Testament term, but you embrace or hold to, you leave, cleave, and then I put here, remember, because you're still remembering what you've been brought up and trained. But notice then, the last thing is that I put this, that you, I'll put it this way. You are at the end, you are caring for. So it comes full circle. You go from being the one being cared for to the one doing the caring. And that's that whole repaying the parents thing. That's God's idea of, you know, the caring for the parents and the elderly and all that. Okay? So it goes in a circle. And then that keeps going because then this person, if God allows them to be married and have children, then that cycle continues and then their children care for them and potentially even for their grandparents. Jane and I moved in with her grandmother in Adel in 1985. That's the year Nathan was born, so it's easy to remember. And we cared for her final year of life. She was a widow and wanted to stay in her home. She had cancer. She fought all kinds of different kinds of diseases over life, and she finally passed away from cancer. But we stayed there as her, and Jane cared for her. All day long, there was different things that grandma needed, or, you know, whatever. And sometimes there were even more challenging things, okay? But she enjoyed doing it. It was her grandmother. So it even works on the multi-generational thing. So there's that cycle, okay? So that's why the idea that your parents cared for you, and God says that's the cycle, that then as they get older, they become less and less able to help themselves, and so then you care for them. And that cycle goes all the way through. Now, on the last page here, we don't have a lot of time. The criteria for honor. If I can go back to, remember I had the wives and husbands, children and parents? Notice here I say there's no conditions. Now that doesn't mean your parents are perfect. But God doesn't say honor your good parents. He doesn't say honor your parents when they treat you the way you feel you should be treated. In fact, the children in Colossians, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, right? So I put down here, you honor your parents because of the position they hold, not because of their perfection, right? In the same way that a wife respects her husband, and we talked about this some, or the husband loves his wife, you do so because of the position they hold, not because they've met all of your criteria. That isn't why you honor your parents. Now, I was brought up in a good home, and I had good parents. But I've met some people that literally hate their parents because of what their dad did, or they didn't do right by their mom, or mom didn't do right, or whatever. The Bible says you are to honor them because they are your parents. You do not have to like what they did. You don't have to appreciate their actions. But the Bible says you still honor them because they're your parents. That is God's way of doing things. So that gives you the extreme. That doesn't mean you have to approve of what they've done. But you can still treat them with respect and honor as God says. Okay? Which is different than the way we think, right? A lot of times, I'll repay what you give me, you know, kind of a tit for a tat kind of thing. So, and I've seen, like I said, I've seen some very vitriolic hatred of people that hate, usually it's one parent or the other, okay? But the idea is that you should honor parents, and God doesn't say unless or until or when. It's a command, all right? Here's a couple rewards. A good and long life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what was that promise? That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. They pulled that out of Deuteronomy then, because it had those two parts rather than just the one in Exodus. So you have a good life and a long life. Okay? In other words, you'll live longer. God says, I will honor you when you honor your parents. You'll live longer, and you'll live a more satisfied life. Now, that might be because of number two here, because of the life direction and wise living and safety that you get from your parents. Proverbs 6 says, my son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. See, it's intended to be your guide. And when you awake, they will speak for you. For the commandment is a lamp. It's supposed to help you interpret life. The law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And then it says to keep you from the evil woman and all that. So there, it's life direction, wise living, and safety. Okay? So there's at least those two benefits. If you want a good life or a long life, these are good things, right? Honor your parents. That's the first commandment that God tied in with the promise, an incentive. So it's worth buckling under your parents and learning the hard things and the tough stuff, because it'll help you to have a good life, and God will honor you with a long life, okay? Now, that doesn't mean at times God doesn't take people early for his own purposes and own designs. But this is the norm, okay? The penalties here. I'll use my illustration number 7, because the penalty has to do, in the Old Testament, violating at least key areas of honoring your parents was a death penalty. I know that sounds drastic, and no parent could think of putting their child to death, but that was what God commanded in the Old Testament. But let me tell you this in number 7, if you live a long life, has anyone ever known anyone that was very rebellious? I had a couple friends that these two were actually in the same family. But come to find out, and I didn't find this out until years later, we actually went to church together. But they used to beat up their dad. Now, I didn't grow up that way. I had a godly fear of my dad. And I've never thought about hitting my dad. Right? I never have. It's never crossed my mind. These guys, the dad would come to church. And I didn't think about it at the time. But hindsight, it's like, wow, I remember him coming, looking pretty rough at times. I believe God kept his promise. One of the sons, he was the oldest, was dating a gal at the Bible college. He knew her from church. He didn't go to the Bible college. He fell asleep on I-35, crossed the median, went slammed headlong into a Mack truck, and died. I was in the Army in Georgia when that happened. But he had a liking to me. He was a little older than me, but he just... We were pals in that way. And I was just shocked. But I'm like... I knew him. He was rebellious against his parents. His brother later, the next brother down, who was my age, burned to death after he wrapped his car around a telephone pole. I don't know, he was drunk or whatever, I don't know, but or maybe just going too fast or whatever. But I've always remembered that. Now, that doesn't mean God does that to everyone in every way, but I tell you what, they did not have good lives. And they did not have long lives. And I would say, without any hesitation, that God kept his promise there. And those are drastic. And that doesn't mean that if anyone here... I know every one of us here has argued with their parents or, you know, disobeyed their parents or whatever. That doesn't mean it's God's waiting to strike you dead. That isn't the point I'm trying to make at all. But they were persistently and consistently rebelling against their parents. And God shortened their life. Okay? I'm just saying that. I've seen this in action. And I could give more illustrations, but I will refrain. Okay? I know more. So anyway, it's not some pie in the sky thing. It's an honor thing. God, it's the first command that God brought up with regard to people was you and your parents. Right? That's how big of a deal it is to God. In fact, he says this before he says, do not murder, if I can help you with that. He lists this before murder. It is a bigger deal to God, and I'm not saying it's okay to murder or commit adultery or whatever as you go down the list. He just thinks it's that big of a deal. Now, look at how big of a deal, and if I can use this penalties to illustrate how big of a deal it was for kids to honor God in the Old Testament. There's the opposite of benefits. That's in the wrong place. Anyway, Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. The idea is that they will die. Exodus 21, he who strikes his father or mother shall surely be put to death. That was that's how big of a deal it was. You hit your parents, that's a death penalty offense in the Old Testament. Okay, that... And again, what we're trying to say is this the way it should be now? We're not trying to say that. All we're saying is God thought it was that big of a deal then. Okay? That's how big of a deal it is. And he says, he who... And by the way, I left this middle verse in. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, if he is found in his hand, shall be surely put to death. So he likens hitting your parents to kidnapping. Same penalty. He who curses his father or mother shall be put to death. Same penalty as a kidnapper. Leviticus 20, verse 9. Everyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Okay? And his blood's on him. That responsibility is there. Deuteronomy 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice, so a disobedient son, seemingly persistent and consistent, not the one violation idea like you're talking, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and mother are responsible to do this. They shall take him out and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of his city, and they shall say to the elders of this city, This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones, so that you shall what? What's the purpose of this? To put away the evil among you, the rebellion. Was that big of a deal to God in the Old Testament? And that causes other people to fear. Deuteronomy 27:16. Cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt. Cursed with the idea of you'll be put to death again, right? And Proverbs 20:20, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Again, am I advocating for putting kids to death because they mouth off to their parents or whatever? No. But that's how big of a deal it was in the Old Testament. That God helps us understand how big of a deal it is to honor and obey our parents. The rest of the stuff I just didn't develop. God treats us as a father, and that's reflected. I did relate to Hebrews 12. And then it's repeated. The rich man comes to Jesus and says, what do I have to do to obtain eternal life? And he lists all of the commandments, including honoring your father and mother. Right? So it's in the New Testament throughout as well, but especially in Ephesians 6, it brings it out in detail. And then there's more verses at the bottom of living long, but it's not just because of that, but other things. So that's a lot, isn't it? I was overwhelmed by how much was there, and I told Jane, I said, I don't even know how I'm going to do all this. So God was good to let Ethan finish promptly, quickly, so that gave us more time. So, any questions or comments?
Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemies, disobedient parents.
Yeah, it's an evidence. Rebellion against parents is an evidence of the last times. Amongst other things, it's an evidence of ungodliness. Right? So, good.
That's why God put them out of the camp. That's one reason why he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of us are children. All of us, no matter what age, still have the opportunity to honor our parents by what we say about them, how we follow the good things they taught us, right? They weren't all perfect things or right, you know. And if our parents are still alive, there's still ways to honor them, even if they aren't perfect parents. I love my parents. My dad was not a perfect dad, but he's a wonderful dad, you know. And he, like I said, he made sure we were in church. He brought us to church. He didn't send us to church, you know, all those things. So a lot of stuff we learned. So anyway, I hope this was helpful to you. And it was kind of interesting. I told Jane, I didn't even think about it, but I'm teaching about honoring fathers and mothers on Father's Day. So, kind of a neat thing. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our earthly fathers and mothers. What a beautiful and wonderful plan that you gave even before the fall, but that, Lord, that you enforced and encouraged and developed after the fall. Lord, you gave us a father and a mother for reasons. We need a dad. We need a mom so that we get the things that dads bring to the table and what moms bring to the table so that we can be raised the way we ought. And Lord, help us to respect, honor, and care for our parents throughout our lives to be blessed by you, but Lord, because they are a blessing to us. And we just thank you again for the gift of parents that you gave to help us grow up in your direction. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.